Dolphins. I'm your host, Dave Kenny, here with super special guest Mike Mercadal on a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Super Bowl recap. I'd just like to inform everyone that I am a Tide ad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if this whole time I've been an ad for Tide detergent. That was my favorite part of the whole Super Bowl, aside from the Patriots losing, but the Tide commercials, because boy, did they need to get their brand back after people were eating goddamn Tide Pods all over the internet. They're like, please let us look good. And then they throw like $1 billion in the fucking Super Bowl ads.
It's like the world is so stupid. Tide has to be like, please stop eating our products.
We clearly stated this is not for human consumption. Please stop eating it. Yeah. Also, here's that dude from Stranger Things being in everything. It was really, I thought it was a good run of commercials.
Yeah.
I watched it at the Creek, where they have a watch party and chili cook-off every year. And, I ate a bunch of chili and I wore my Dolphins jersey to the Super Bowl because I'm a huge wrestling fan.
Yeah.
And I was just hoping that you would hear the glass breaking and then the Dolphins would storm the field with chairs.
It's Cameron Wake.
Cameron Wake, by God, that man had a family.
He is a man torn in half.
Yeah. I'm super pumped. I'm ready to rock, man. The end of the football season couldn't have happened better in that the Patriots had a fucking meltdown after they lost.
Yeah, this Super Bowl was, I mean, you listen to this, you definitely watched it already.
Right.
The numbers, which I'm sure you've heard to recap before, most combined yards of any modern, NFL game, 1,151 total yards in the game.
Modern era, right? Like that's pre, what?
Yeah.
Pre what?
I guess in caveman days, they scored millions of yards.
I guess. Yeah. Because they were traversing huge terrain.
Yeah.
And then a touchdown was when they got to eat and survive.
Yeah. It's the same.
Exactly. Same rules.
Yeah. You can't count those stats though. You can't because that's back when dinosaurs were allowed in the league, which I mean, a T-Rex, I mean, they're 40 times so high.
Yeah.
So
fast. With an asterisk, let's just put the asterisk. We all know what the asterisk means. T-Rexes.
Also the T-Rex skull, naturally resistant to CTE. A lot of unfair advantages. That's the real reason they went extinct. Yeah. Head trauma.
Yeah. They couldn't figure out how to procreate because of all the brain damage.
74 points, second most scored in a Super Bowl. This was, I mean, I'm someone who enjoys defense, but I mean, this was just like this was like an NBA All-Star game of a football game, just nonstop quarterbacks catching passes. Apparently less talented quarterbacks dropping passes.
Not getting them. Yes. It was entertaining. I mean, I will say this, like there's nothing worse than like a boring Super Bowl.
Sure.
I mean, look, you know, child soldiers and drug addiction and all that stuff. That's worse. But
Mike says boring football is worse than famine. Mike, come on.
But in the spirit of like watching the best teams compete, honestly, of course, we didn't want the Patriots to be there, but they won and they won their way in.
Sure.
The Eagles, it was a tough side. I would have rather the Vikings play, because then it would have been like a home field Super Bowl, and that would have been an interesting story.
I don't know if the Vikings could have beat them though.
I don't know. I mean, who knows what could have happened? I will say that it was fun to watch. There was a lot of, you know, there wasn't a lot of back and forth because the Eagles had the lead the whole time, but it was engaging. It was to the last fucking play.
I mean, it was just everything that makes football fun and dramatic. I mean, going forward on fourth downs over and over and over. And apparently Peterson, that was an analytics thing.
Yeah.
I mean, cause he's been doing that all season. It wasn't just this game, those fourth downs were this was just a very exciting game to watch.
I saw a quote from him where he's like, I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember the exact quote, but I saw him say something along the lines of like, with safe play calling, you get an 8-8 season, and then with aggressive play calling, you get a Super Bowl win. You know what I mean? And that was like, hey, Adam Gase, are you listening? What's happening in the situation? You know, like,
Absolutely.
And I did there was the whole Nick Foles backup quarterback drama.
Sure.
Like, would a backup quarterback win a
Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles? That is not a sentence I ever expected to say.
And even then, when they had Carson Wentz and they were fucking like romping people and kicking ass, it was like, what is happening? You know, we were speculative, you know, we're like, Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, I remember before the season, I think it was, we had a preseason game against the Eagles and we spent a whole week practicing with them. And Carson Wentz was just carving up our defense. And the thing is, Carson Wentz hadn't played. He wasn't terrible, but he certainly wasn't that good. Season he played in the season. So there was like kind of a question of like, did he just take a giant step in the second season, or is our defense having a tough time? And the answer was both.
Yeah. A little of column A, a little of column B.
Carson Wentz was a lot better than he was starting out. And our defense
was struggling.
Not amazing.
And continued to struggle.
Yeah. I mean, the Eagles, I mean, it's hard to, this team, whether it's their quarterback or their running back, I mean, this Eagles team in a lot of very concrete ways was also kind of shaped by the Dolphins through moves that, the JJ trade, we have talked about and beaten to death. If you want to hear us go in further depth, listen to literally any episode of this podcast ever.
Yep.
we traded JJ. He wasn't great for us.
Here's what I'll say about that.
What's that?
He didn't get them to the Super Bowl.
No, he didn't.
Absolutely no credit goes to Jay Ajayi for getting them to the Super Bowl.
I mean, he did average 5.8 yards a carry with them, which is pretty impressive.
It's great because they were already a good team.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, it's not, it's something that definitely, they definitely didn't make it to the Super Bowl because of him. They were already doing great before he got there. He definitely was part of the solution.
I'm not being a hater.
Sure.
But there's a small percentage of like hater going on hate. So there's a little, you know, like in the solution of this statement, there's a little bit of drop of haterade in there because it's like, yeah, fuck that guy. Especially after the game when he literally flat out took a shot. Like the weirdest passive aggressive shot at Adam Gase.
I've got the exact quote here. It was an Instagram with a photo of him with the Lombardi trophy.
Yep.
It says they, all capital letters, may have tried to discredit you, discount you, throw dirt on your name, .. None of it matters now. All capital letters, legacies last forever. Funny how they were, and he's, it spells gassed, but lowercase is the second S. Literally, so it's like gassed.
Yeah.
Over journalistic .. Look at me now. Only God.
Well, I don't understand. Like, again, bad, poor grammar. I mean, this man, poor, you know, I expected more. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
I mean, look, you can say what you want about his ball carrying abilities. This man has no future in writing.
But funny how they were gassed over journalistic. Now, what do you think that means? Instead of gassed, let's call it what it is. And funny, they were gassed over journalistic. Does that mean
if it wasn't leading up to the Super Bowl, there's a clip of a journalist asking him a question about Adam Gase that he kind of, it's kind of like an uncomfortable dodge. You can see he's like visibly uncomfortable and he's just wanting to talk about it. If he hadn't already made so many comments before this, you would be like, maybe it's just like a weird spelling thing. Fact that it's so consistent. It's very purposeful. It's not, there's 0% doubt about that. The sentence itself is what it is. I think that it's tough to separate two things. One is that Adam Gase wanted to go with a more pass heavy offense, even though the quarterback options weren't great. JJ didn't fit the system. JJ was pissed about the situation. He was becoming kind of a locker room problem. Adam Gase wanted to get rid of him and didn't want to wait until the end of the season when we possibly could have gotten a better pick in exchange for him. He wanted to get rid of him sooner than later. Mm-hmm. Fourth round pick, no one in the league. I mean, it's the week leading up to the Super Bowl is basically every Super Bowl analyst talking about how stupid but the Dolphins were for making that trade.
Right.
Kenyon Drake's great. We don't have to go too much further than that.
We've talked a bunch about it, but I will say that like now it looks even worse.
Sure.
We traded a Super Bowl winning running back for a fourth round pick. Well,
I think the other problem too is it's like you want to like send a message to your locker room, like with the Patriots, Jamie Collins wasn't acting right, so they trade him to the Browns. And that's a real like, hey, you don't play by the rules. Any one of you motherfuckers can go to Cleveland. And the Dolphins were like, yeah, you don't want to act right? How would you like a Super Bowl ring, asshole?
Yeah, yeah. You get the fuck out of here and win a Super Bowl. You know, like, we'll put you on a good team.
That'll teach you.
Yeah. I hope you learned your lesson.
May that be a lesson to anyone else who would try to disobey me.
Oh, my God. It just makes us, it's classic Dolphins. Just, you know, like, Chris Hogan was out there.
Sure.
Playing, you know, in a Super Bowl again. He's got rings.
Yep.
You know, there's like, it's the ongoing legacy of Dolphins players doing better once we get rid of them.
Yeah, I mean, the Hogan thing, I mean, I remember, I mean, if you watch...
The Hard Knocks?
Yeah, if you watch Hard Knocks when they were calling him Kmart...
No, they were calling him 7-Eleven.
Oh, Kmart.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm mixing it up with something else.
Kmart. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He sold Kenyon child...
Kenyon Martin.
Kenyon Martin, exactly.
No, yeah, 7-Eleven because it was always open. He was a dude who... The problem is there's a lot of players that we've gotten rid of that just are complementary pieces on a team that's already good. Wes Welker's a great example of that.
Right, exactly.
We traded him for a second and a 6th-round pick. At the time, though, if you don't have a prime receiver, an elite slot receiver isn't the most useful thing to you. And so, yeah, I mean, obviously he put up all the amazing stuff, but it's one of those things where if you don't have better receiving options, Wes Welker alone isn't the dude who would have... I mean, he was a good player, but... Chris Hogan, I kind of feel that way about. I mean, he was a dude who, he's a good receiver, but I mean, Jarvis Landry, everything Chris Hogan does, Jarvis Landry does dramatically better.
No, absolutely. And it's just, you know, it always stings a little. It's like, when it's the idea of your ex doing better than you. And you're like,
oh, yeah. We're going to see Ted Ginn, multiple Super Bowl player Ted Ginn.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot there. And to be fair, like, we could, you know, harp on that all the time. But it is that, like,
well, the other trade that the Eagles did that helped shape their team was it was a draft trade. Mm. We traded in the draft a trade that we turned into Laramie Tunsil. Mm. They moved up and then traded 2 more picks and moved up to get Carson Wentz, who this season, no matter how you slice it, is at the very least seemed like a top 5 quarterback this season.
He's
in the running for MVP before his injury took him down. And
it would have been the Carson Wentz season. He would have been the guy that everyone was talking about being the difference maker and had he not gotten hurt.
And look, Foles, I think his QB rating in the playoffs was like 110 or something, but his QB rating during the season was like 79 or something. Like, it's not
right.
Carson Wentz, they definitely would not have been.
No,
it seems unlikely that they would have made the playoffs.
It seems unlikely that they would have but that's neither. I don't think that's really right. I mean, Carson Wentz was the guy.
No, but that's the point. I mean, the point is how important Carson Wentz was to them getting to where they got to.
And that
trade, I mean, apart from the trade, we also took the contract of Byron Maxwell, which even at the time we knew was shitty. Mm-hmm. I mean, that basically the idea at the time was we're getting a player we believed in Kiko Alonso, who was still like on a pretty cheap deal. And Byron Maxwell, who had a terrible contract. Byron Maxwell, obviously no longer on the team. Kiko Alonso, we inexplicably signed to this huge contract extension. Because, I mean, he still had another year on that. I don't know if it was his rookie contract or it was just like an... I think it was his rookie contract because I think it was due to get like... I think it was under $1 million. If not, I mean, it was like a very low amount of money and we gave him this huge pay raise and it wasn't like...
He wasn't lighting the world on fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean,
he had a couple moments. Like, that's the whole inconsistencies of the Dolphins defense is like there were moments of greatness.
Oh, sure.
From a lot of people on our defense.
Yep.
And on the team entirely, you know, like there was a lot of like flashes of greatness that if we can combine into like one consistent game,
yeah,
we could, you know, make that like set the blueprint for this being the what we're going for.
Sure.
But, you know, like there's some money moves that we made that don't make a lot of sense now in hindsight.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, you know, so basically we gifted this Super Bowl win to the Eagles. Like we don't take full credit, but like majority credit, you know, I mean, like the Dolphins
through our incompetent front office moves, we gave the Eagles. Hey, if that's what it takes to beat the Patriots.
Yep. that's Gase playing 3-dimensional chess, man. Yeah. That's Dan Marino in the front office there.
Making moves. How did you feel about the way the game went?
It was great to see like the Patriots pass game struggle. Like it was, yeah. there was a lot of that going on. I mean,
it's a struggle, but he did throw for more yards than any quarterback in any playoff game ever.
Absolutely. You know, it's not just
Super Bowls, playoff games in general.
What I will say is that, Chris Collinsworth is an idiot. Like that guy, he's reached Madden level of like stating dumb shit.
I mean, I was thinking it during the game is that they're replaying that. And look, I mean, there are times when it's a replay and it's not enormously clear, but it was just for Collinsworth, a dude who not only played the game, but has called so many games. There were so many of the times where it's like he's giving his take on these plays and you're watching the replay and you're like, is he seeing a different thing than what we're seeing right now? Like, how could he be getting it this wrong? Like the one touchdown, it's like,
That was obviously a touchdown.
The end zone is a three-dimensional space. The fact that he had control over it when it crossed the line, it doesn't fucking matter. Like what happened when he, like, why are we even having this talk?
He caught the ball, turned and reached the ball. He had to have had control over it to reach.
And Kyle's really like, I don't think it's a touchdown. Like, oh, and also, God, Collinsworth.
There was one line that got me where he was like, oh, you put, you know, Tom Brady under pressure and he's a mediocre quarterback. And I'm like, what? And then then later in the second half, he's like one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the game. And I was like, well, okay. I mean, Collinsworth, come on, man. You have like that memento disease where you can't remember 10 minutes ago. Like you just insulted the shit out of him.
Yeah. I mean, after Tom Brady losing another Super Bowl, I mean, the obvious question, Tom Brady, choke artist or NFL's worst choke artist. Will this dude ever perform in the clutch? Yeah. You have to ask yourself.
Oh, there was that moment where, because it came down to the wire and there was that where they scored and it was down to a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. Like that 2-point conversion had to happen.
Sure.
There was that moment where it's like, are we really going to give Tom Brady another 2-minute drill to make like Super Bowl history?
And I mean, that was the terrible choice we had to make as fans is give a Super Bowl to Philadelphia, a city of the worst people on the entire planet outside of New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Borders New Jersey, though.
Yeah, they're the same people.
It's close enough. You're getting secondhand Jersey.
Terrible people know no borders.
So it was give them a storybook Super Bowl where they can be like, we beat the greatest quarterback of all time with our backup, or give Tom Brady another Super Bowl, which I think is Dolphins fans completely unacceptable.
At that point, we were in a movie where we didn't know whose movie it was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's like they overcome the odds to win the game or.
It's also a movie with no heroes, only villains.
Exactly. It's literally like Rocky where Rocky loses. Spoiler alert.
I think it's also like Freddy versus Jason where there's no one really to cheer for. You're just watching horrible things happen for a while.
Important designation. Which team is Freddy? Which team is Jason?
Ooh, that's tough. I mean, I think
the killer of dreams, I think, would be the Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
of course.
And the Eagles are just the chop, chop, chop of the machete of Jason.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
relentless coming for you, but not quickly.
But yeah, like you can. It's one of those where it's like, I just got to keep my cardio up and I'll never die.
We just keep tagging this up with like fucking like Patriots. Don't sleep on them. If you're still listening to the podcast.
We got more for you because the.
I mean, Tom Brady, I mean, the story that I want this to be is the final death of the Patriots. I mean, coming to this game, Brady is the oldest player in the league that is not a kicker. I don't know why that struck me so funny. Literally, I think there's like four dudes in the league that are older than them. Some of those dudes may have retired. I don't know because the season ended. But I mean, during the season, the only people older than him were kickers. It was like four dudes.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick is the oldest coach. And still, Tom Brady throws the most passing yards of any playoff game, has a QB rating of 115. Mm. I mean, look, I mean, they were...
Stop saying good things about him.
I know. What I wanted was for him to just suddenly die of AIDS in the middle of the game. That continues to not happen.
Well, here's the thing. He's older now, and he had a full-blown meltdown after the game. Did you see that? He didn't shake... He just stormed off the field. He didn't shake Nick Foles' hand. He didn't do any of that shit after the game.
Yeah.
He just literally... bitched out.
world-class asshole Tom Brady.
Yeah, he's not known for he's a dickhead.
No, certainly not a friend of the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, if he listens, we appreciate your numbers. Thank you so much for listening.
I mean, look, I mean, with our numbers being what they are, every listener counts. So yeah. We love him as a listener. We only hate him as a quarterback and a human being.
Right, yeah, purely as a human being.
As a listener, though, I mean, his listenership, so important.
He looks like not in football shape. Like, he doesn't look like a football player. Did you see him? Like, looks thin and weird. And like, he looked ill.
I want badly to believe that. It just, when a dude throws the most playoff yards in the single game with a 115, it's hard to be like, well, here comes the beginning of the end.
Is he, but like, do you think this is his, you think he's going to retire?
I wish.
Did you see that thing that they had on ESPN or something about the Tom Brady 12 or what was it? The fucking the documentary thing that was following Tom Brady around.
Oh, it's like Tom Brady versus aging
or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's on Facebook. For the record, I'm cheering for aging. Yeah, it's I mean, look, coming into it now, Gronk after the game. It's open about whether he'll play next season with the injuries. I'm not betting on him retiring. I mean, the exact thing was reporters came up to him. He said, quote, I don't know how you heard that when he was asked about his future. He said, but I mean, I'm definitely not going to look at my future, or I'm definitely going to look at my future for sure. I'm going to sit down in the next couple of weeks and see where I'm at. He's 28. I mean, he's had all these injuries and stuff. He's got more than enough money, but I mean, it's hard to feel like he's going to retire and become a college professor with that brain of his. So,
no, I heard he hosted a comedy show.
Yeah,
I can't remember who was telling me about it. Somebody at the Creek was telling me about it, that he hosted a comedy. He was just saying like the worst misogynistic jokes about, like, you know, when you're in a club and everybody wants to fuck you, girl, I want to fuck you, girl. I was like, what? This guy's a fucking piece of shit too.
Yeah, Gronk is like. He is just like he just seems like that exact tool dude.
Super bro-y, you know, just a fucking tool, you know, just one of these dudes where you're like
fun to cheer against.
Like, I get it. And look,
in a perfect world, he'd retire, but
far be it for me to like dismiss his accomplishments because, you know, we're two comedians sitting in a fucking apartment in Spanish Harlem recording a podcast about the Miami Dolphins. So we're not going to dismiss.
Hashtag Dolphin Dome.
Hashtag Dolphin Dome. Yeah, we got to do that.
This is the Dolphin
Dome. This is the Dolphin Dome. But to be fair, what does he gain from playing hurt this next season and like not being able to recover fully, then taking a full season to really hold out and be in good health and come back after a year. I mean,
it's very well reasoned analysis. I feel like what it will also come down to is just him being like, Gronk love football, Gronk not love football. I feel like you're putting so much more thought into what he has put into anything ever in his entire life.
Not him, his agents, his finance managers, the team of people.
God bless the people who are trying to explain these concepts to him right
now. Exactly. Yeah. Those guys that are like, Gronk, you can't, there's no football now. You have to stop playing football. But Gronk won't play football.
You can explain it to him, but you're going to have to use a lot of pictures. He has a very tough time.
Gronk healthy now. Gronk won't play. He's like, no, the season's over. You got to wait until next season. He's like, well, start season now. That's not how it works, Gronk. That's not how it works.
I mean, the Patriots, it's Gronk maybe back, maybe not. Brady, if he does play, is going to be 41. Mm-hmm. He doesn't seem to have any intention of retiring. I mean, but look, I mean, things change by the time this podcast, by the time you're listening to this, he might have already gone in a different direction. As of now,
had an aneurysm and died or something. Could be possible.
Dudes, especially like kind of competitive psychopaths like Brady.
Yeah.
They tend to at least have like a slowdown season. As much as I wanted that to happen, that's not what this season was.
The season was.
It's an MVP season. So
what
like,
do you think was their cheating method that failed them this year? Because, you know, you know what I mean? Like, they had to have and secured some form method of cheating.
Well, a lot of the season they had the referees. They certainly had Chris Collinsworth.
Yeah, they had him in their pocket.
They did everything they could. One of the things that was intriguing was they basically benched Butler throughout the game.
They said he was sick. He was suffering due to illness and something else.
Just came out yesterday, sick, but also apparently missed curfew. So it's like a discipline deal, which it's like,
you think his sick in air quotes was a hangover? I mean, he's hung over for the Super Bowl.
I think it was Ian Rappaport who said the curfew thing. I mean, it's of all the times to discipline someone doing it during a Super Bowl game seems like a weird time to do it. But, you know, I mean, the Patriots have done a bunch of weird shit. And if that jump ball to Gronk at the end goes slightly different, I mean, we could be saying a way different story.
Yeah, honestly, the fact that it came down to that is a testament to like the undeniability of the Patriots. Like,
yeah,
they may be horrible in all the ways that we know them to be horrible, but sure. Fuck, did they come close to getting that back?
He threw 505 yards, missing Edelman, and Brandon Cooks got knocked out of the game.
Yes, you saw that hit. Oh my God, I loved it. It was so good.
Yeah, it was. Great.
Yeah, he got because you could see him. He was like running around, looking around, and there was that blind spot, head on a swivel moment where it's like, "Well, you're about to get ear holed."
Yeah, I was watching. Boo. I was watching the game, and a friend of mine was like, "Oh, I mean, we used to really enjoy watching hits like that." And I was like, "I still enjoy watching hits like that."
There's nothing wrong. You know what I mean? Like, it's they're playing football. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, it's you can watch football or you can choose not to watch football, but like watching football and feeling bad about yourself the whole time seems like a waste of time.
As much as I, a medical professional who knows the extent of brain damage and has seen multiple concussions and experienced one or two of my own, that moment of getting a concussion in the Super Bowl, worth it.
Yeah,
exactly. You know what I mean? Like, worth it.
Yeah, I got one playing tennis one time. Yep, just running backwards, caught the back of my heel, cracked back against the ground. Not worth it.
Not worth it.
If you were like, Dave, would you rather have had that concussion or a similar concussion
playing in the
Super Bowl? Easy choice for me.
Easy choice. Well, to be fair.
You do not get to choose.
To be fair, I mean, was it declared? It was a clean hit, right? Like, I mean, I didn't see much helmet to helmet. I think it was all shoulder.
No, I was just playing with my sister. It wasn't really. I'm fucking with you. No.
You son of a bitch.
No, I mean, it was.
He didn't get flagged or anything, right? Like there was
no, just a hard hit.
Just a hard hit.
I mean, it's all, to be fair, like what I determined to be a dirty hit to Patriots. I mean, he could have fucking last boy scouted that shit and pulled a gun out. And I still like, it looked clean to me.
Oh, well, I mean, are they hollow point or not? Like, cause that's the line I draw.
Yeah. You can't, I mean, this is still the safety league. You can't use hollow points.
I wonder how many people
in the Super Bowl,
not in the Super Bowl. Come on. I wonder how many people don't know that last boy scout scene. Oh. How many people have not seen it?
Yeah, if you listen to the podcast, fun homework scene. Just watch the first 5 minutes of Last Boy Scout. Don't watch the rest. It doesn't get a lot better.
Having had seen that scene, like as you know, like however old I was when it came out as a kid, and then watching all those Ty Bo commercials, I'm like, that motherfucker shot somebody.
Yeah,
that's the guy.
We're just gonna forget about what he did on that field.
We're just gonna let him.
We're just gonna gloss over it.
He shot he shot a bunch of people and then killed himself in the end zone.
Yeah, it is
one of the best scenes in cinema history, in football cinema history. But also, that was bonkers.
Haven't seen it. YouTube that first clip. Yeah. Definitely worth it.
But also just imagine him doing that to the Patriots as he's running down the field. Yeah,
you'd hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so
we're fucking monsters.
Bunning up our eternal wish that the Patriots fall apart and die. Oldest quarterback, oldest coach, oldest. Both their offensive coordinator signed with the Colts. Their defensive coordinator is the head coach of the Lions. Although I don't think the Patriots are going to be missing him too much.
Yep.
Especially after the way this game went. It's like you want him to fall apart. And like every year you're like, maybe this is the beginning of the end. It's a fucking Terminator. There's just no,
you know, when they lost to us, that crazy loss that we just kicked the shit out of the Patriots this season. Mm-hmm. There was a moment of like, oh, is this it? Never mind. There's and then they all the way to the fucking Super Bowl.
I mean, we said that they're like Freddy, but it is more like Jason. Like you think they're dead, but then it's like, no.
Yeah,
there's that one last jump scare. And like, I'd like to think that the collective nightmare is over, but it never seems to be.
Yeah, you're right. It's totally. The Patriots are both Freddy and Jason.
Yeah. It's
The Eagles were the Dream Warriors or whatever. Some deep pet sequel reference.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah. Pet Cemetery.
To be fair, the idea that Tom Brady leaves and they replace, like they got rid of Garoppolo at a certain point.
That was a crazy move. I mean, it's gotten talked about in the behind the scenes of it are interesting because I mean, he seemed like a pretty natural, I mean, it's
like to inherit the Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of stuff talking about how when Drew Bledsoe went down, that's how Tom Brady came in. And there was a lot of speculation about Tom Brady being not, he's like, oh, is he going to be a flop and all that stuff? And then look at where he is now.
Sure.
Garoppolo leaving, I think, might have been like, if I were to, my guess, this is pure speculation.
Yeah.
There was a second of time during the season when Tom Brady was struggling that there were talks of him retiring.
Yep.
And then Tom Brady was like, fuck no. And then Garoppolo's like, well, then I'm out.
I mean, there are reports that that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yep.
I didn't read that, but
I mean, I fucking
nailed it again.
Basically, Tom Brady wasn't comfortable about it being, and he then put pressure to get rid of Garoppolo. I mean, these are all unverified reports of anonymous sources and stuff. No one seems to want to go on the record, but yeah, ESPN ran that story, that exact thing.
Really?
Yep. I mean, look, I mean, it's all these stories of these, there aren't a whole lot of stories of quarterbacks being super pumped about their replacements. Obviously Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, Montana, Steve Young. I mean, it's,
nobody wants to train their replacement at any job.
No, you know what I mean? And I think Tom Brady, especially as someone who did take Drew Bledsoe's role, isn't super eager to let someone else do the same thing. And that was part of like what pushed him out. I mean, will it cause them to fall apart and crumble? All we can do is hope.
Have you heard, this is a separate issue thing.
Okay.
Have you heard the Kaepernick rumors again?
To the Dolphins?
Yes.
Look,
I don't know all the details. I just thought about it because we're talking about backups and we're talking about stuff like that.
They claim
Ryan Tannehill is going to be our guy, but they're also talking about what's that dude from the Heisman guy? The
Oklahoma guy.
Yeah, yeah. What's his name? I forget his fucking name.
Can't think of his name.
Bringing him in because there's rumors about their doubts being Tannehill doubts.
Sure.
Which there have been since the inception of Tannehill.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different options at quarterback right now. I mean, so right now, one free agent who recently came on the market in the last week is Kirk Cousins, which some people have been tying to us, which I think is insane.
Yep.
I mean, look, I actually have some stats here on the Kirk Cousins thing. I mean, they started in the same season, obviously because Kirk Cousins was playing behind RG3 for a while. Mm-hmm. Even after Tannehill's injury this season, or that kept him out the season completely, Tannehill still played more games. I mean, the interesting thing though, if you look at their averages per game, yardage, Kirk Cousins, 261 yards, Ryan Tannehill, 239 yards, touchdowns, Kirk Cousins, 1.6, Tannehill, 1.4, interceptions, both of them would have 0.9. I mean, look, if you break it down even further, yards per attempt, Tannehill's at 7 and Kirk Cousins is at 7.7. That doesn't sound huge, but it is. Like, that is, there's a reason why Kirk Cousins is probably going to be the highest played player in the NFL this year in free agency. Mm-hmm. And it's obviously not because he's an elite quarterback, but that's just, it's a position that people overpay for. Kirk Cousins specifically, he is better than Ryan Tannehill. He's not light years better. He seems like a way better fit. Like if you're Jacksonville, if you're Minnesota, if you're one of these teams that think that like a above average quarterback could be the difference between you and a Super Bowl, then you way overspend on him. But I mean, any of the reports trying to tie him to the Dolphins just seems stupid.
It doesn't make any sense to go out of your way to, I don't know. It's the Dolphins. We throw money at shit all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, we're wrong about how we spend money.
Yeah. I mean,
one of the most Miami things about our team, cocaine and spending money we don't have.
We overpay, and we specifically overpay in free agency. Ndamukong Suh, Mike Wallace. I don't need to keep going. It's kind of a thing. It's in a way that could be described as Redskin-esque.
Oh boy.
I mean, it's kind of what the Dolphins have become. If the Dolphins even considered Kirk Cousins, it would just have to be because Gase sees him as such a perfect fit for his system, which I can't possibly imagine. What you brought up, Colin Kaepernick. Basically, the situation is this. As it gets closer to the draft, there's four quarterbacks in this draft that are supposed to be pretty good.
Right.
Four quarterbacks that like are rated to be what in other drafts could have been top prospects. We'll break that down more in depth. Because to be honest, I mean, I'm not going to try to pretend like I watched every Wyoming game this season.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, we're going to have more information as we get closer to the draft. There's four quarterbacks in the draft. Matt Moore, they've already said, isn't coming back. Dave Fales is an option, but I mean, he doesn't, there's nothing about him that necessarily makes him seem like a possible replacement or even necessarily a consistent backup. So at the very least, we have to either draft or get a free agent quarterback who's a backup. Kaepernick is, I mean, Kaepernick is definitely, I mean, he's more than good enough to play backup in the NFL. I think that his numbers are both better than some people tend to have a political agenda when it comes to Kaepernick one way or the other. The fans of him try to make him sound like he was
like an untouchable, amazing.
Yeah. That he was like an MVP candidate.
Right.
And the people who hate him say that like, he doesn't deserve to be a third stringer. And they're somewhere in the middle. I mean, he did get a team to a Super Bowl, but that team had a really fucking good defense. And
right. He's a piece of a puzzle. And honestly, yeah. I don't think he should be dismissed immediately.
Sure.
And I think that if he comes in, he'll be as good in terms of let me gather my thoughts here. In terms of an offense,
sure,
that is struggling.
Yeah.
That struggled all season to get any ground, sure, under Jay Cutler, which, yeah, might be going to the Broncos now or some shit like that. Like,
sure.
Nuts. But like,
as long as he's not going to the Dolphins.
Yeah. Fine. In terms of an offense that's having some growing pains under a new head coach, sure, and all this shit, there could be something in that exchange that he views that, like, there's a million stats and we're looking at three and he's looking at four other different ones. Sure. They're completely separate.
Yep.
And I think that because Kaepernick could be equally as good, there's no way to know how he's going to fit into this, into the offense in terms of chemistry with his players.
Yeah. I mean, there's a chemistry with players. I mean, Kiko Alonso.
My point being is that he was going to, like, a Kaepernick player could galvanize, like, a very, like, politically,
sure,
caustic person,
yeah,
could galvanize the players around a person, you know, like, give him a reason to make him look good.
Yeah.
If he's going to get a lot of shit from, because I guarantee you, if we start winning, anybody with political reservations about him in Miami are going to stop.
Oh yeah.
Miami does not give a fuck about politics. They care about winning.
Absolutely. I don't care. And the fact that, like, they're saying that, like, there's been this drop off of people watching football because of the politics of it. Fuck them. They were never real fans to begin with.
No, it has to do with the fact that, like, modern people don't watch TV live.
Yeah, I mean,
that's literally it.
I have the politics that I have, but I mean, if every single person in the NFL started wearing America Great Again hats, I couldn't give a shit less about that. It's irrelevant to me. Like, it's, I mean, people have whatever their beliefs are. To me, I think a lot of times the term distraction gets overused. Like,
yes,
like, just that, like, everyone so desperately wants to avoid distractions. The thing about the Kaepernick thing that's interesting is to bring him in as a backup quarterback and deal with a lot of that stuff.
I don't think that would happen.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's one of the things where it's insane that he's not on a roster in the league. And if Gase thinks that he can fit our roster, I mean, my issue also is just that, like, this season ended in chaos. It seemed like Gase had completely lost control of the locker room.
Yep.
So, I mean, Gase needs to, whether we sign Kaepernick or not, Gase has to do a much better job of kind of keeping control of this team that's got over penalized over everything. I mean, just openly fighting on the field. Like, it just, it seems like there's no one chaperoning this dance.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, the chaperones are spiking the punch.
Sure.
But with Landry, right? Jarvis Landry,
yep.
You saw him posting stuff about Ajayi on Instagram after the Super Bowl,
yep,
and showing his support for there. It seems like that he's got to get his team back, but
yeah,
what if he had a galvanizing political figure as the conduit?
That's, I think that it's, I love the concept.
Yes, of course. I'm writing the movie. You're looking at the actual real football specs of it. I'm writing the cinematic. I'm writing the screenplay where Kaepernick comes in and has a crisis of faith about doing what Gase says and galvanizing his team. And
Michael B. Jordan is.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I'm writing that because honestly, there's so much up in the air right now.
There really is
so much up. Who knows who we're going
to
draft?
To me, with this front office and with Gase, two seasons in, one good season, one completely, one season where we overachieved, one season where by any measure we underachieved, mm-hmm. even given the circumstances that were out of his control.
Absolutely.
And by the way, front office situations that are in your control, it's, we've given so much of a pass on the fact that like Tannehill goes down and they have to resort to Cutler. Yeah, well, Wentz went down, and they went to Foles.
Yep. And Foles took him to the Super Bowl.
And Brett, and the Vikings were able to go to Keenum. It's useful to have depth. And that was one of the biggest lessons of the Eagles is this is a team that's deep at every position, and that doesn't happen overnight. But the fact that the Dolphins have no depth, the fact that like a lot of the starters, there's a few key positions, obviously. You got Rashad Jones, TJ McDonald looked pretty good this season, and Dominican Sue. There's a couple great players you have, but especially our offensive line, a lot of the players, the starters on our offensive line are great to begin with. And if anyone gets hurt, all of a sudden you're sending someone in who was like a deli manager at Publix 2 weeks ago to replace him. I mean, this is why you need depth.
And I'm just happy to be here. You know, it's like, it's just an honor to be nominated. Like, no motherfucker, get out there and play.
To your point, I mean, like what you're bringing up at quarterback, we talked about Tannehill a ton before. Mm-hmm. His top ceiling, if he really clicks with the system and everything seems great, is Alex Smith, which isn't great. It's solid. It's a team that if everything else on your team, if you've, I mean, look, is, I feel like
consistently performing mediocre.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think Tannehill at his best is capable of what Foles was able to do. Yeah. I think he has those skills, but the rest of our team isn't close to being as good as the rest of the Eagles are. The way I feel is this, Gase coming into his second season, this front office with the track record they have with all the quarterbacks that are available. To me, if there's a quarterback that they believe in, even if with the 11th pick and four quarterbacks, I don't think we'd have to move up, but even if the Eagles moved up to get Wentz, it was a ballsy move at the time, but they did it. If there's a quarterback that they believe in, that is a franchise quarterback, mm-hmm. Tannehill's good. He's never going to be a defining quarterback that we can like put the game on his shoulders. And
last year he looked like that coming in and then he got hurt.
Sure.
This year he just got hurt.
Yep.
He's not the guy.
No,
I think he can be the next guy holding the place for, he could be the guy holding the place for the next guy, but we can't be doing these stopgap QB bullshit. I think we should bring in,
if there's a dude that they believe can be a star that can learn, because at this point, Gase, we get rid of the offensive coordinator to bring in a dude who was the offensive coordinator of the Bears, who are terrible, mm-hmm. because it was Gase's guy, because it's a guy who's known for working well with Gase. This is the season where Gase's job
is on the line.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely. And the thing is, this is also, we're about to get to it. The odds came out, VegasInsider.com, different places have different odds. Dolphins are listed as 75-1, to go to the Super Bowl to win the Super Bowl next year.
There's not even that many teams, man. How's that even possible?
Even though we're the 11th pick.
I don't know how odds work. Yeah, exactly.
Dave, I think there's a critical error here. Yeah,
there's some huge mistakes here.
Yeah, there's only six teams in the entire NFL that are either as bad or worse than 75-1. On the bright side, two of those teams are the Bills and Jets. The Jets are tied for the worst at 150-1. The teams, Giants, they have at the same odds as us, 75-1. Bills, 100-1. Bengals, 125-1. And Bears, Browns, and Jets are both, all three are 150-1. This is a rebuilding season. I mean, they're all rebuilding seasons all the time because that's what happens when your team's never good.
It's just a constant state of keeping the boat from sinking.
Yeah. I mean, this constant, like, sign like a couple big free agents and plan as if we're like one or two players away. I mean, look, it had a couple things gone differently. I mean, had Gase not stuck so stubbornly into the stupid offensive plan, mm-hmm. with the talent on this team, this is a team that could have lost in the opening round of the playoffs. But there's no argument. There's no world that exists where the talent on this team was going to take us to the Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, there's not enough great things in the world or weird coincidences that could get us there.
Yeah.
And I think that part of
that's that whole magical thinking.
Yeah.
Like we can't fall onto that. Like, well, look, we all know that I'm the story guy. I'm
sure.
Of the two of us, you're the stats, real world. You're the realist. I'm the idealist. Right. Sure. Of the two of us. And so I'm, of course, writing the story of the campaign to overcome the odds and all that shit. I'm writing the NFL film script for our team before they even play a game.
Yep.
Do you know who's number one, who has the highest odds?
Patriots.
Is it the Patriots?
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. This is one of the reasons why the Patriots are thought to be as unbeatable as they are, mm-hmm. because they are almost always guaranteed a spot in the playoffs because of how bad
our division
sure. is. So they don't have to worry about half of these games. They don't have to take it takes a lot of pressure off a team when the rest of the division is not that good.
Sure.
If the Bills and the Jets are below us in odds, mm-hmm. this is all, you know, I'm sure they're doing some sort of math, but everything will change.
Yeah.
Everything will change if suddenly Brady retires or Gronk retires,
sure.
Bill Belichick retires, whichever one of those things, as unfeasible as it is to think of Tom Brady as just retiring on a loss.
Yeah.
Then we're back in the same boat as this mystique about the Patriots, and we're always in last place. It's like it should be like the fucking go back to the thing, the any given Sunday game of inches, you know. Sure. And it's literally, we got to put the puzzle pieces together in a way that sets us up to win, and all of that's so up in the air right now.
Yeah, I mean,
and if Adam Gase doesn't pull it off, he's got to go too. Then we're starting from scratch from a new motherfucker, you know.
Yeah, this is a team. I mean, you're listening to this. I assume you've been a fan for a while because this would be a weird season to start.
Yeah.
But
who are these Dolphins? Let's talk. Let's find out a little bit about these Dolphins. Who's saving the Dolphins?
I enjoy this color scheme.
Oh, man.
That is not typically what brings people in.
No. Unless they're a big fan of the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, oh, it's all retro. Let's get this throwback Dolphins jersey. I guess I have to watch the games now.
That was like one of the most upsetting things. I was walking around Williamsburg one time, and there was this dude in this like kind of like vintage Dolphin starter jacket.
Oh, those are so cool.
And like I saw him and I was like, oh, Dolphins. And like he pointed at it and he was like, it's a joke. And I was like, fuck you, fucking hipster.
Yeah. Yeah. That happened to me with someone wearing a Phil Collins t-shirt. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's a cool shirt. And he's like, oh, you like Phil Collins? I'm like, yeah, he's great. And then they gave me that look. You know the look.
Yeah.
The disdain and the looking down like, oh, I'm wearing this ironically. Because
it turned out it had opened a pack of lies.
I could feel it. My rage. I could feel it coming in the air tonight. Yeah, and then I drowned. I watched him drown. Uh-huh. I watched him drown, and I didn't do anything about it. And I turn around, and you Phil Collins is looking at me doing it.
You did not lend a hand.
I did not lend a hand.
Yeah.
And Phil Collins saw me. It was very ironic. And then,
stranger to you and me.
Yeah. No, but yeah, the Dolphins have this spot of like being in the bottom of their, like, thought of as a poor team.
Yeah, never bad enough to get a top draft pick, never good enough to make a serious run in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I mean, we got the 11th pick now.
We're not even lovable losers. Because, you know, like, if you're a Browns fan, they have an insane fan base, even though they fucking lose all the time. Well, the Dolphins are just like that.
And that's always the frustration of the Dolphins, though. Like, if they're never, it's never outside of the 2007 when they went 1-15 mm-hmm. under Cam Cameron. I feel like the Dolphins are rarely like that Cleveland Browns level of like they don't belong in the league. Even this year, I mean, like completely getting destroyed. Even by shitty teams, like that loss against the Jets was absurd.
Right.
But then at the same time, beat the Patriots. Like, beat the Patriots.
Soundly.
Yeah. With their starters. It wasn't like they were pulling the starters because it was, or like some special people were hurt. Mm-hmm. Although I think Gronk was hurt.
Yeah. Well, Gronk, that's the whole Gronk story.
Probably only the most important tight end of all time.
Right. I get it.
Who's to say what effect that has on the game? Maybe it helped them not to have him.
It's a coin toss, really.
No way to know.
No way to know.
But yeah, I mean, it's so where the Dolphins head from here. We get closer to the draft. We're going to break it down. I guess one last thing, Todd McShay in the second mock draft out of ESPN. Both mock drafts, both have us taking the guard, Quentin Nelson out of Notre Dame. I haven't been watching an extensive amount of
Notre Dame footage,
specifically watching the O-line, not even the game itself. But I mean, look,
is that what we need?
Offensive line's a mess. Right now, a lot of places are a mess. Tight end. Mm-hmm. There's, I mean, no real tight end.
Yeah, we got
offensive line has been a mess for about a decade at least. To me, I think quarterback, when you have a pick as high as 11 and you have a quarterback draft class that apparently is this deep, and look, I mean, the Dolphins have been, Gase went to the Senior Bowl, which is not something that would normally be done specifically to scout quarterbacks and stuff.
They're even getting a quarterback, even, man. They have to be.
Even if they don't take a quarterback, and look, I mean, that's an easy fan take. Like when your team loses, to just blame quarterback and stuff. But the reality is, that's not nothing. I mean, like it's teams in the league. I mean, this was a real anomaly of a year. And mm-hmm. like in the championship games, you've got Nick Foles, you got Case Keenum, you got Blake Bortles. So this was an anomaly in a year where it seemed like a lot of teams were going pretty far without elite quarterbacks. But in general, I mean, like if you think that there's a dude that can be a franchise quarterback, we got the 11th pick for a reason. The reason is because we're shitty.
Here's what I don't want.
What's up?
I don't want us to draft a quarterback and have him riding behind Ryan Tannehill. I don't want to set up another offense for Ryan Tannehill when if there's a freshman quarterback, we throw him to the fucking wolves. I think if we get a rookie quarterback,
Sham.
I would want that to be somewhat something that's like, yo, we're riding on you, like we're depending on you, and not be a and like literally build.
Yeah, to me though, I think that that's something that kind of plays out in camp.
Of course.
And like it's
the Chiefs
they drafted the dude high in the draft, and then Alex Smith still started this whole season. Mm-hmm. They were able to trade him to the Redskins. But yeah, I mean, I think there's dudes in the league. I mean, like Russell Wilson, for instance, in the same draft as Tannehill, he was a dude who he was taken in the third round. I mean, they weren't even drafting him. They were drafting him for depth and possibly starting way down the road. They certainly weren't expecting him to take the job from, I think Matt Flynn was the dude that they had way overpaid at the time, where they were expecting to be their starter.
They certainly
didn't expect him.
Yes.
To me, I think it's a thing where you draft a quarterback and you just kind of see there's quarterbacks who, like Russell Wilson, just grab the reins in training camp and are ready to go in right away.
Yeah.
There's other quarterbacks, including like really good ones, who kind of struggle early. If our offensive line is the revolving door it's been for a lot of the seasons Tannehill is, you run the risk of being like a David Carr scenario where he gets sacked a ton, like his rookie season, and then it is scared in the pocket and completely loses it. I mean, I think that that's something that you can kind of work out as it goes.
Yeah. I mean,
about look, whether to start him immediately or
Baker
not.
Baker Mayfield. That's the guy who I was talking about. Yep. Right. Baker Mayfield. If that guy pulls a Russell Wilson and he just comes in, like if let's say we get him.
Yeah.
Right. Because they're in talks. They want him to come to there was that whole rumor of like send me to Miami or whatever.
But there's also, I mean, again, like having not overly scouted him. I mean, everything from like his height, which in the NFL, I mean, obviously there's shorter dudes who have done it, but a lot of those dudes tend to be like real elite athletes, like right. Russell Wilson or Michael Vick or dudes like that who are able to be shorter and do it. I mean, there's a concern about his height just because seeing over an offensive line is an important thing.
Right.
And also like the attitude stuff. I didn't even watch enough college football to know as much about that side of it.
He had like some charges on him last year and he got arrested for something. And then he was on the field, like he got booted out of a game because of because of something. I don't remember exactly what it was.
Yeah. I mean, the fear is Johnny Manziel.
That's the big fear.
But
what do we have to lose? Adam Gase has got his job to lose.
Football games.
Yeah. But like, we're already losing those.
No, I know. It's in the soap opera that is the Dolphins. It does spice up the storyline.
Yeah.
It's a new main character.
Look, Kaepernick or this dude that are going to be quote unquote distractions. Do you think fucking Lawrence Timmons disappearing wasn't a distraction? Do you think fucking the O-line coach getting fired and the whole Coke videos and sending him to a mistress and all that shit? That wasn't just, that had to have been a slight distraction. The fucking
most teams have general managers. Our team just has like a producer.
Yeah, it's literally like it's like, oh, what can you do for our team? It's like, well, I was the producer of Keeping Up with the Kardashians for 10 years and like hired.
Yeah,
you're in.
You know, do something with the Jay Ajayi storyline.
Yeah,
spice it up.
Yeah, with the Jay Ajayi getting traded. Like, there's been plenty of distractions. I am not thinking
Ray Maluga.
Ray Maluga. All that shit. Like, yeah, every distraction, like,
it emboldens us.
They're going to happen.
Sure.
We need them to work in our favor.
Yep.
So if a distraction brings a galvanizing Colin Kaepernick that unites the team, yeah, or a young Baker Mayfield who starts making huge differences in our offense, or even something like the defense comes together and just starts ripping heads off again.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like the what's the guy from the Lions that
killed? Well, Kiki Alonso kill again.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What was he?
Kiki Alonso.
What was his wrestler name?
Oh.
I forgot what you put it.
Kiko Alonso.
But the guy from the Lions comes and all of a sudden Ndamukong Suh turns back into Ndamukong Suh of old.
Yeah.
I don't care. I want it.
Ndamukong.
Yeah. Give me Donkey Kong Suh back.
Yeah.
And let him start fucking like ripping heads off again.
Yeah.
I'll take it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, at this point, I'll take it.
Sure.
The thing is that like what coach for the Eagles,
Peterson
said about playing what safe play calling gets you is an 8-8 season.
Yeah.
And what aggressive play calling gets you is a Super Bowl win.
Yeah.
Fuck. Give me the crazy shit. Go start swinging. You know, you can't hit a home run if you don't get the bat off your shoulder. You know what
absolutely
I mean? Like, I'm all for big dramatic moves.
Yeah.
And Fuck it. Who cares? Gase, we throw money at everything anyway.
Gase just seemed to be such a strange mix of the two this season. And then like, he's a coach who seems more willing to go for it on fourth downs than coaches would, which I like. But then also like the offensive play calling, and again, some of it, like, you don't know how much of it's the quarterback and how much of the coach, but enough of it was the coach.
My dream is that the people that he's been pulling to get that aren't exactly good, you know, like
sure,
the fucking quarter, the Bears guy and the, you know, yep, what I mean? Like the Lions are doing well, but like
sure,
the people that he's pulling around him are to get rid of the people who are telling him no.
Yeah.
That's my dream, is that the little, you know, soap opera shit that happens between the coaches. Now he's got a bunch of dudes around him that are going to be like, yeah, fuck it. Let's do it. Go for it. Yeah.
I mean, look, I still ultimately believe that Gase is capable of turning all this around. I mean, he's a dude who, again, like way overperformed the first season.
Yeah, he's going to need to.
Second season, it all fell apart. Yeah. I mean, even like the strongest Gase defenders, I mean, there's just no way to look at this other than a complete disaster.
You're hoping for the pendulum swing.
Yeah.
Back to where he, like, to even further, like give it some more momentum so he fucking swings away.
Yeah, I mean, he's an incredibly young coach. I mean, he's made all the hires, so it's all on him. I mean, all the excuses that you could possibly make of being like, I was saddled with these coaches that I wasn't crazy comfortable with. I mean, like, ultimately, he seems like he's going to have a big hand in the decision of like where they go with quarterback.
Him going to the Senior Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, it's on the bright side. They turned it around. Everything looks great. It's a lot to do with him. Mm-hmm. Other side is if it goes shitty, there's nowhere else to point.
Exactly. I would hope that because he has been shown himself to be that he's like, hey man, the fault lies with me.
Sure.
Even though he didn't do anything to fix him this season.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that literally the fault lies with me attitude maintains and gets like expanded to encompass legitimately changes like making legitimate, this needs to change, and not having people in his way.
Yeah, it was the first season he was with the team, he's like, the fault lies with me, and then he would change stuff and they were like, oh great. Second season, it's like he forgot that second part. He was like, the fault lies with me. And then like the next game, it's the exact same thing. He's like, fault lies with me. And you're like, cool. We appreciate the acknowledgement.
I'm detecting a pattern here. If you could just, you know, stop having the faults, that would be great. You know, like, well, you know, yeah, they lie with you. We get it. Okay. Adam, we get it. They lie with you. But now can we get them to lie elsewhere? Yeah. You know, like, let's have them land on the other teams.
Is there anything you're doing about it?
Yeah.
Like, anything you've been thinking about maybe making less of those faults lie with you? Like, not have the faults at all?
Right. Like, at this point, you are an earthquake waiting to happen with all these faults. Yeah. So, how about we settle it down a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's bridge some of these gaps.
Final question. What of the commercials during the Super Bowl, which movie were you most excited about?
They dropped the Infinity War teaser. And I was very excited about that because you saw the two shields that Captain America had.
Spider-Man in outer space for some reason.
Spider-Man or in that weird. Yeah. Something. You know what I'm saying? Something's going on. There's something. It's going to be great. And then also, the Black Panther, I saw Black Panther again and I'm going to see that next weekend, you know,
like, yeah, it's the great point where it's like, I almost like when Black Panther stuff comes on, I almost just like want to turn it off. It's like, you already have my money. I'm going to see it.
Quit trying
to make it seem even cooler.
The Han Solo trailer with Donald Glover looking Billy Dee as fuck.
He did look pretty cool.
I was upset. I was like, why did the anthology movies look better and more intriguing to me than any of the newer movies?
I don't know. They're reshooting the whole movie, and there was like this rumor. I mean,
they brought Ron Howard in.
Yeah. I mean, look, the football part is concluded, but this is general movie talk. But yeah, it's they brought Ron Howard in. Also, there was this rumor on set that they had to bring in an acting coach because the dude that they cast as Han Solo was like having a tough time of it. And like,
well, I get if he's trying to embody a person that already played the role.
That's a pretty big vest to fill. Like,
he's got a big blaster to hold, you know?
Yeah, it's just
that's a dick reference. No, that is
not. Yeah, it's I don't know. I don't know how he's going to step into it. The one that I was, I think, most excited about was Skyscraper.
Oh, yes.
The movie where The Rock has to fight people and he apparently has one leg.
It kept
coming up in the trailer. And I was like, what I want 100 movie posters, each with just different plays on words about it. Like, his handicap won't stop him from kicking ass.
Yeah. Who has a better chance than a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest?
He's got a leg up on his opponents.
The man, the myth, the leg end. Yeah.
One man, one mission, one leg.
But it was also, you know, I thought at first I was like, oh, this is the ad for the Rampage movie where he's got the big gorilla.
He's like one leg and I'm like, what the
wait, fuck? Hold on. This is very different. And then it just proved to me that the only man who can beat The Rock in the box office is The Rock. His only competition is himself. And he's already got Jumanji's the highest grossing movie of the last two, like this year and last year. Like, it's made $1 billion fucking dollars.
Yeah.
With Jumanji.
Yeah. Ugh. It's as soon as I saw, especially because I have MoviePass, I was like watching that. I'm like, the chances I'm going to watch that movie are 100%.
100. I'm also really excited about that movie, Scientology. That trailer looked great. That was such a good trailer.
I mean, I wouldn't call it believable.
I mean, it's a tremendo paquete. You know what I mean? Like, it's a little hard to swallow the storyline, but I'm willing to suspend my disbelief.
My favorite part is
that level of engagement.
My favorite part is that like it opens with someone Googling what is Scientology, and they find all this like great information about it. I'm pretty sure that's not what happens when you type that in.
That is not the first
deadly cult.
Scientology leader accused of murdering his wife or dad or whatever the fuck.
It's also one of those things where it's like just so tone deaf to like, you know, like people, we all are making fun of you and we all think you're crazy, right? Like there was a time where like not enough people had heard of it. I feel like the word's kind of out now and it's not great.
Yeah. Like when you used to see those Dianetics commercials as a kid and you're like, I want to watch that volcano movie.
Ooh.
Ooh. Now it's like, oh no, that's that cult that's holding Tom Cruise hostage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I thought, oh, look, Mission Impossible 6. Great. Yeah. I want to see that. Oh, no, this is not
it. Escape from Scientology. Mission, should you choose to accept it.
This is what you tune into, Saving the Dolphins podcast.
Yeah.
Ironically enough, this is right up my podcast, Ali, the Unsung Heroes.
Plug it up.
Sliding right into plugs.
Yep.
The king of the segue. Are we done?
Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Plug.
You can come out to Unsung Heroes live at the Creek in the Cave in Long Island City, Queens, every Thursday at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. And then it's released the following day as a podcast on ZerosOnHeroes.com, at Zeros on Heroes on all the podcast directories, wherever you download your podcasts. And what is that other thing I'm working on? Well, we'll talk about that another time.
D&D.
The D&D show, yeah, that's coming back Wednesday. The D&D show is back this Wednesday at EMW3 Studios on Twitch.
Cool.
And hopefully we'll get that ramping up for the new year.
Awesome.
And then there was something else, but I forgot. What was I going to say? Never mind.
In suspense.
Cliffhanger.
This, if you listen to this podcast, you're probably already aware there's a website, savingthedolphins.com. In the off season, to be honest, the website's basically just mostly just been posting these podcasts during the season. In the off season, I'm going to try to throw a couple articles together. We appreciate you listening in the off season. We're going to, obviously it's not going to be weekly the way it was during the season. It's going to be episodes. It's going to be a little bit like this, and that it's going to be a little bit more off topic stuff. Generally Dolphins, places the Dolphins can go, talking more about former Dolphins, different topics like that. We appreciate you continuing to listen.
And maybe phone interviews.
Yeah, definitely subscribe if you haven't already. So when the episodes show up, it's going to be about every other week in the off season. As we get closer to the draft, it's going to heat up with that, with free agency, with the other stuff. But we appreciate you listening.
Yeah, we'll do a draft special where you can listen to people guess for the whole time.
Watch Dave recount what he learned from other draft analysts. And we're on Twitter at Saving the Fins, PHINS, and I'm on Twitter at David Kenny, KINNEY. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. And fins up.
Fins up.